We've engaged in the unusual activity of, on my part, podcasting, on your part, listening to podcasts about molecules. These are groups of atoms together. Groups of atoms form a molecule. And why are we doing it? For me, it's to learn to podcast a bit better, to get iron out some difficulties in communicating chemistry. Speaking, you, I don't know, you might be interested in the molecules and stuff like that. And of course, you can. There's lots of different molecules out there. And yeah, albeit carbon dioxide, water, they're all fascinating molecules, but I've sort of gone to the more complex molecules. And slowly built up the complexity of molecules of phthalic acid is one. And then I've gone on to phenolphthalein, which is a got 20 carbon atoms and a lot going on. It's actually got a little molecular switch dyes, pi orbitals, and stuff like that. I like to get into it because, you know, it's a guide and it gets you into it. Perhaps, though, that phenolphthalein has actually beaten me. And I was into it halfway yesterday, podcasting about it, and I thought, this molecule has beaten me. There's these unknown cognitive and knowledge barriers, which sort of like I know of, as I talk about the molecule, it brings it up. And that's sort of while I'm doing it. So this is a podcast of me having a second attempt on phenolphthalein. This is Peter Hill Explains, where we enter into a conversation, you and I, about things scientific. I have a try to explain things, you have a try to understand things, and maybe the world will be a better place because of it. So, why phenolphthalein? Phenolphthalein is got 20 carbon atoms, it's got lots of things going in on it, it's a dye, there's lots of interesting things. It's actually got a switch in it, it's a molecular switch in it, all in 20 atoms, and it's sort of a very interesting thing to try and get into. And there's sort of three areas we've got to tell you about: dyes, how dyes work, how switches work, how acid works, and that's one aspect of it. There was that, all that knowledge is to get it wrong. There's another aspect of actually just managing all the concepts together. So if you go into low or high scale, you're talking about individual atoms. It's really hard to get around the molecule. Yeah, so there's a sort of like a combination of knowledge hurdles. There's the volume of knowledge, there's knowledge hurdles, and there's actually complexity in actually putting it all together. So this is the second attempt, and I'm going to make it a little bit easier, I hope. And so as I thought about it, I thought, oh, this is actually quite a good exercise, because, you know, part of my brain said, oh, why don't you do this? This is probably another, different parts of my brain were saying, oh, look, they probably don't understand it because there's too many molecules, too many atoms discussed, or it's hard to start off without actually doing a basis of acid theory, or there's too much structure there. So let's start again. Phenolphthalein is a group of carbon atoms, and it's a dye, and dyes, particularly made by the Germans last century, were all based on something called aromatic ring chemistry. They discovered that if you do chemistry with these ring carbons, you create these things called dyes. And then there's sort of bits and pieces, machinery you can put onto a dye, so you can actually make a dye which switches on and off, a dye which switches on and off with temperature, electricity, pressure. There's so many different things, and obviously acidity. So if you have an acid measuring dye, you can see how strong an acid is by looking at the dye. So something which indicates the strength of an acid by the color of the dye, that's called an indicator, an acid base indicator. And you can have indicators for all sorts of chemicals. It's a dye which reacts to a particular chemical, a small range of chemicals. Very interesting aspect. And of course, it's a very, very important thing, dyes. And I thought, look, I really have to get into this, especially, I'll just tell you a side story of this fascinating stuff, which is something which we take for granted, and young kids probably have never seen it. It's called carbonless carbon paper. Well, you know, a carbonous copy paper. And this is, we've got a top layer of paper, and impregnated in that paper is micro capsules, little balls of dye. And the dye, when you press the pen on it, the micro capsules burst and squirt dye underneath your hard end of your pen. And those dye molecules go down and they react with the clay. Now, something people don't really know, that there's you can put clay on paper. These clays they put on the paper, so you get these sheets of paper and they automatically write pressure underneath it. Fantastic piece of thing, all to do with dyes. I thought, well, look, people have to know about that. They understand, they sort of know so much dyes around in their normal life, and there's all this fantastic super technology sitting around with dyes and no one knows about it. So I thought, we really have to talk about it. So let's go through. We've got the molecule of dye. So a dye is an actual little molecule. A little molecule, 20 atoms, that's not too much. That's actually a nothing, you know, compared to a protein. That's one or two protein, not proteins, amino acids stuck together. You get to 20 atoms very quickly. So it's a very good thing. It's possibly within range of discussion, but let's get down to a dye. A dye is something which is expert at absorbing and transmitting color. So you can actually mean that it takes on a color, absorbs the color, and emits that color. So if it absorbs a different wavelength and it absorbs at one wavelength, emits at another, that's fluorescence. But this absorbs and emits in the red. A red dye, and it's expert. And one of the things to think about or to get into your mind is that dyes are expert at it, and you only need a little drop of dye to ruin or to actually color a cupcake, or to a little bit of spare dye, just the froth of a dye on a red sock can actually color your entire washing red. That's a pretty amazing thing what dyes can do. So they're amazing little molecules. They're expert color transporters, and the way they do expert color transport is light is an electromagnetic wavelength. They've got an antenna tuned to that light, and to get an antenna tuned to that light, given that an atom is much less than the wavelength of light, they stack up these series of atoms so that it's absolutely tuned to that frequency of light. Yes. In terms of size, scale, sensitivity to it, all these factors to do it. So they tune up, they make a little molecular antenna. It's a little molecular mobile phone which receives and transmits the light, obviously in different directions. So the red light that you see, the red of the color, comes from the red of the lamps around the place. So if you don't have red light in your spectrum coming in, you're not going to see any red in it. And this is something to really think about. It's not going to be at all red. But absorbs the red light and then emits it in different directions, and only a few drops of it does anything. I have to speak. I'm speaking here in Australia. I've got these king parrots sitting right in front of me on the branch right next to me. Sorry about that. And that they're using, I suppose they're using dyes in their feathers, so to speak. You can possibly hear it at the moment. This is pretty amazing stuff. Okay, back to it. So we've got the idea of what this is. It's a little molecule, and it's a little it's got these little antennae on it, and so these antennae are pretty easy to see. And so this antenna looks like an antenna. It's two little hexagons, which of the in the phenophylline, which this switch switches on and off. And we'll talk about the switches not too much, and that should perhaps get you fascinated by it. But I'm going to have a different approach now of just. I try and talk about the switch and the things like that. You go down one path of acid base, and you sort of go, well, you get yourself a bit stuck, and I got myself a bit stuck yesterday. So let's do it. So in your mind, put aside the idea, space in your mind for the molecule. We're going to build a molecule in your head, and we're going to do it better than if you do it at YouTube. In this case, you'll actually remember it and understand it much better than you'll do visually if you can actually stick with me for it. So imagine it's a sandbox we're going to work on it, but here's another intellectual box I've got to tell you about acids and bases. There's three series of theories about acid and bases. And I hope you don't switch off this point in time. But it's not that hard. And they're sort of concentric theories about acid and bases. When I say about the first little theory is an easy to understand little theory, then surrounding that is a slightly bigger theory, which explains everything in the first theory. So it's like a target, a dart target. The little theory's in the center, and then you've got a ring around the outside which contains that little theory, and the next theory contains it all. And so it won't surprise you that we start off with the little theory, the Arrhenius theory, that acid and base is the amount of concentration of H plus or OH minus. And that defines what an acid and base is. And so an acid is a bottle, and the bottle has got either a lot of H plus, the protons, or it's got a lot of hydroxide. Hydroxide makes it a base. So an acid and a base is a thing in a bottle. You can measure the concentration of it, and if it's got a high concentration of H+, that's an acid, and if it's got a high concentration of OH, it's OH-, it's a base, and that's the Arrhenius theory. Then the next theory around the outside of that is the Lowry-Bronsted theory, and that says that a acid is a hydrogen donor. So hydrogen chloride is an acid because it donates, it's capable of donating a proton. And how this changes things is this is where you have to really have to go up to at least that level to get into indicators. Because if you draw an equation, an acid-base equation, where you have a neutralization of the central dot, the Arrhenius theory, in the outer theory you have, I suppose, an equilibrium reaction. That's an acid and a base goes to a base plus an acid. If the acid donates its proton to a base, that's the definition, a base is something which accepts a proton, then that goes on the other page. What was an acid is now a conjugate base, and now it's, well, I suppose conjugate acid, it's acid base, it reverses itself, because it's a, say if you're at Christmas and someone hands you a present, if you define as the person with the present as the, which the present is a proton, that would be the crappiest present I've ever got. I'm not even giving you an atom, I've given you just a proton without an electron. That's it. If I give that to you, so if you run the film before, which is the first half of the equation, a chemical equation, I'm the person with the proton, but then run on the second side, person with the who accepts the proton is now the acid. So it's this back to front sort of thing. So the important thing is that a indicator, in this case, an indicator gets in an acid, gets donated. The acid does its stuff and it donates a whole lot of protons to it. So it becomes, so the indicator starts as a base in an acid and it gets a whole lot of protons donated to it. Whereas the opposite thing happens when it's in a base. And the final loop around it, which is what you really have to understand, is the Lewis theory of acids and bases, where it's not something's a bottle called an acid. The Lowry-Bronsted is a molecule which does puts out a proton. The Lewis one is pretty similar, but it talks about donating electrons. So an acid is an electron receiver, whereas a base is an electron taker, and that does all the things about, handles everything like ammonia and all this, all these complicated things, and even some things without hydrogen in it at all can be an acid-base reaction. So there's those three theories with it. And so if you try and start talking about acid and bases, because the indicators are really up in that those next two levels of theories, because it's the thing that responds to an acid, and it responds to an acid by turning into an acid itself. It's hard to do. So it responds to an acid by receiving, the acids are proton donators, and it receives proton donators, so it becomes an acid. So this is one thing. So as well, I suppose that makes sense, sort of, why in a certain way things, when the indicator is put in an acid, it becomes the acidic form of it. And when it's put in a base, it's got lots of electrons on it. So in an acid, it's got lots of protons, and in a base, it's got lots of electrons, and that's what goes on. So your molecule isn't just a molecule. The indicator is a molecule plus protons or plus electrons. And so as you start to load it up with electrons, it clicks, and it in this case, switches a bit like a mouse trap. So once there's enough electrons put into it, so putting electrons into it is making it more basic. This is an amazing type of stuff. So, this is one thing, you can't just suddenly say acid base and people all of a sudden say, "What the heck is he talking about?" Because I've only learnt about the school grade Arrhenius level. So there's, I've got to break it to you, that there are three levels of acid-base theory, and it's not one replaces the other. One is better than the next, better than the next, and you really need that level. So, what happens at school? We only give you acid-base reactions, which you can solve with the level that we teach you. But an indicator is something which requires a slightly higher level. So, I think that's covered off one acid or two. Let's tick off the things we've done. We've done what a dye is, what acid base is, because that's what's going to come in, and now we're going to actually build the molecule. And last time I was going to build the molecule on, say, do you know benzene? Of course, if you don't know benzene, it's a bit of a problem. Or do you know phthalic acid, and phthalic acid anhydride? Do you know that one? Well, that's the precursor, and of course, if you don't know that, it's a bit of a difficulty. So what we have to do is, I'm going to do a construction in your head out of paper plates, bits of silver foil, and pipe cleaners. And the pipe cleaners are going to be black and red. Black is the color of carbon. And we're going to build it really s well, quickly and slowly. And the art is that if you can build it in your head, you'll lo and behold have a low cognitive load molecule built into it. So we're going to build this phenethylamine, and it's a great molecule because it's a molecule with a switch, an atomic switch switched into it. It's just, well, the molecule bends, and it's mind bending. So to start off with, phenethylamine has three rings of six carbons, and they're going to be your paper plates. So get your small paper plates. No, you don't have to actually go out and do this in the kitchen. It's a podcast, okay? So you can do it in your mind. But one of the great things is that if you do it in your mind is used to storing food. Like, you're used to counting plates for getting things for dinner or putting potatoes, things. It's this great thing. So if I could actually do it with fruit, it would be ideal, but we're doing it with plates. Now, one of the things that I'm going to do is, you're going to get a texter, indelible texter, and go to the drawer and get them, and they all don't work, do they? But you're going to use your imagination, indelible detector, texter. It's really great. And on your paper plate, you're going to draw a hexagon, a six-sided figure. And that's one line going around it. That's six bends, and it goes around equal size, and that's going to be your carbon ring. Now, your carbon ring, because it's made out of these carbon, and carbon has bonds pointing down and up towards you, so it's a little pyramid. That's not going to look like that in real life. However, there is something you can do. You can actually push your carbon flat and remove a hydrogen from it. And so we're going to do that, and you're just going to have to go with me for a while. On every second stroke there, so if you number the vertices 1 to 5, you know, 1 to, you know, going clockwise, except it's a 5-hour clock rather than a 12-hour clock, go around, so you put a double stroke 1 to 2, a double stroke, as this 1 to 2, 3 to 4, and that's just going 1 to 2, 1 to 2, 3 to 4. I've got to really work this one out. Sorry, I've got a problem. It's every second one's got a double stroke. And so it's 1 to 2 is one stroke, 3 to 4 is one stroke. I just have to go, because you've got it's 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, yeah, 5 to 6, so it's actually... Oh, yeah, sorry, that's okay. Sorry, I've got zero, and I've got too much computer science in my head. 1 to 2, 3 to 4, 5 to 6, and you will have a benzene ring, which is nice and flat. And what happens is, this is, you've made yourself a benzene, and you're going to get some scissors out and cut a hexagon around the outside of that. And you're going to have to use what the structural chemist uses, the power of imagination. You're going to imagine the hydrogen. It's a cheap activity, and you've got a benzene ring there. So I'll do that again. It's a hexagon with double bonds at 1 to 2, 3 to 4, 5 to 6. That's amazing going around. So I just had a mental clock there. You can see how hard it is. So you've got that. And you do that three times. So you've got yourself three benzene rings. So put two of those benzenes, I put one of those benzenes aside, and we're going to work on these two benzenes, because we're going to do an activity of making that benzene into something called phenol. Phenol is making it into an alcohol. I don't think you can get drunk. I think you can get cancer with phenols, but I don't think you can get drunk with phenol. So, yeah, we're going to convert those little benzene rings. So we've got two benzene rings, and we've put one benzene ring aside, because we're going to do something interesting with that third benzene ring. But with these two benzene rings, we're going to make them into phenols. And so what we've got to do is get a little bit of silver foil. And it's not going to be too hard. A little silver foil, scrunch up about 5 centimetres. Make sure you've got, okay, scrunch it up so it's a little sort of little scar of silver foil. That's going to be your bond and your electron. And we're going to be a bit scummy here. And what you're going to do is, we'll do it on one, and then you can go away and do it on the other one, because you can get two phenols. I can't believe I'm telling you this, because I haven't done it myself, and you're doing it in your head. You may want to actually go out into the kitchen and actually try and do it yourself if you're really enthusiastic, and if you've got a little kid doing it at home. But yeah, look, if you're doing this at homeschooling, perhaps there's some other stuff that you should do with your kids first. Okay, so you get your stapler. I didn't tell you about the stapler. You can get really angry with me. You need your stapler. You get your stapler. But if I told you about the stapler earlier on, you'd get cognitive overload. Get your stapler and you staple your little 5 centimeter piece of silver foil to atom number one in your phenol. And so what you'll do is you'll have your benzene, and you've ripped off a hydrogen and you've placed something on it in front of it instead. Now we can't see any hydrogens because we're just using your power of imagination to know it's there. And that's an electron going up, and you get your pipe cleaner. It's a little piece of wire with some fur, a red one, and about 3 centimeters up, you wrap the pipe cleaner around in just a circle, round and round and round in a circle, and that's your oxygen atom. Now we're going by convention here, not full convention. Black is carbon, red is oxygen, and that little, you'll have a little bit of silver foil sticking over the top, and that's going to be your hydrogen on the out of it. And that, my friends, is a fennel. And you've made one fennel, make a second fennel, and just hold them up. Look at them. The two fennels, they're flat. They've got their benzene ring, the double bonds involved in them. And they've got a fennel at the end of them. And that's the two things. And depending on how, though, if those fennels are flat in the same plane, their electrons will jump across from each other and it'll be red. If you bend those fennels so they're not flat, they're at angles, it won't be. So this switch is, we're going to hold basically a hinge, which will lock these fennels together. Now, we're going to take our other, put those aside, get our third benzene ring, and onto it we're going to do something a little bit interesting. We're going to put a do the same thing, but on we're going to attach two. See how I'm going to do this. No, we're going to have to actually teach you how to make a carbon, and then we've got to stick those carbons on. So a carbon. What you do is you get two strips of crushed up aluminium foil together. Right, you've got them together. Pull them into an X. Okay, so they're, be a bit generous. Give yourself 7 centimeters. I'd go for 10 centimeters. 2 10-centimeter strips of these aluminium foils crushed up. You know, don't be too fussy about them. Push them up into a thing. They're going to be electric bombs, and you cross them over. Right, you cross them over, and people are going to be upset by this. And then what you do is, where it's crossed over, you lash it together with a brown pipe cleaner. So one over one aspect, and then bring it over and over the aspect, so it's lashed together. So you've lashed it together a bit like a little cross. And that cross is your carbon atom. And you can do two things with it. Oh, you're going to find it a bit hard to do the second thing with it. First is you can form that up into a pyramid. So hold one piece of the silver foil up and then bend the other two down and set it up as a little pyramid. You can't do that. Go to a book, scratch your head, work out how to do that. That's homework for you. That's to make your carbon atom into a pyramid. Now, I said there are two things ways. There's two orientations of carbon. The carbons in your benzene rings aren't like that. So what's happening is your carbon in the benzene ring, the three bottoms go flat, and the one which is left up standing goes half and half, one half above and half below. And you can't really do that. That's the two states of carbon. And so when the carbon goes from one shape to the other, that's your switch. It switches on your state, so your tetrahedral state to the flat state of carbon with your bonds. So I'm working you through with this. Now, you've made one carbon atom. We're going to have to use two carbon atoms here. So make up a second one. Give you a bit of time. Come on, hurry up. All right, well, I'm going to wait all day. Yeah, look, you're going to need for this thing two additional carbons and all up four additional oxygens. I should have told you that you needed two black pipe cleaners for the carbons and four red ones for the oxygens. Well, you probably need more than that. Probably need six all in that, because we're going to make an intermediate molecule in the way, just to have a bit of fun. So you made your carbons, your two carbons, so that's your little cross of silver foil with a carbon on it, and you've got your benzene. Rip off those two imaginary hydrogens, so you've got six hydrogens on the outside of your benzene ring. You've got your paper pack, you cut it around, so you've just got a hexagon, and you've got your black pen, and you've penned in it. Okay, you can really be doing it if you really want to do it, but you can also do this in your imagination. It's a lot cheaper, a lot easier, a lot less messy to do it in your imagination. I'm doing it in my imagination at the moment up here. And on your carbon atoms, you are going to, on your benzene, the other benzene ring, you've thrown off the hydrogen, no waste. Even if you had it for, if you're doing it for real, it doesn't cost anything. You don't have to sweep the hydrogens off the floor because they're imaginary. And you staple onto carbon number one and two. Number one's at the top apex. One and two, you staple your carbons. This carbon's going up. And yeah, you can have a, if you, once you staple one carbon in, and you put hydrogens all on that, that's a toluene. Haha, you've made a toluene. However, if you staple the two together, you've got these two carbons. This looks a bit like a, if I can say so, I've got a vivid imagination. It looks a bit like a reindeer with two antlers up the top. And we've got to do something with these things. And we've got to, we now have two carbons up the top with each of them with three bonds sticking out there. And we're going to do something with it. We've got to get our trusty oxygen, so we're going to seal off those bonds. So on any one carbon, which has got three, we'll do one carbon at a time. We've got three bonds sticking out. Those three, take two of those bonds and wrap them together with an oxygen. So an oxygen has got two bonds, and its essential two bonds going through an oxygen is going out from the carbon and straight back into the carbon. And then you've got another, so you've got one, a carbon, one stuck to the benzene ring, and one, two of them are stuck to an oxygen, and then you just got another oxygen, and you wrap it around the end of it, and that other bond sticking out sticks to a hydrogen. And that's a carbolic acid. That's your classic organic acid sticking over there. You need a little hand, play with it. And of course, you put another one next to it, and you make this super, super molecule. The first molecule you've built in your imagination is this phenol, phthalic, we may as well call it phthalic acid. Yes, so if your mum calls and says, "What are you doing?" "I'm just making," they'll say, "What the heck?" And you explain, "Look, I'm listening to this mad podcast from Australia with the man. It's surrounded by these noisy Australian birds going completely mad." Yeah, sometimes you just have to give out your podcast because the birds become too loud. And I think these, I don't know what's happening with these here. Okay, you made phthalic acid. Now, what you can do is that at this stage, have a little bit of fun. Where I was having a bit of fun is where you actually bend the two, yeah, you bend the two H OH groups. This is oxygens with a single bond, a little bit of hydrogen sticking off. And that, sorry, the OH bond is an alcohol. So you made a sort of an alcohol, but you know how alcohol goes off and it becomes a bit like vinegar? So you make a sort of version of highly carcinogenic vinegar. Okay, so you put it, they put the two hydroxides together, the two hydrogens and a little bit of oxygen going out. And what you do is you remove one of your oxygens, and I suppose you could put a little bit of silver foil in between it, and just put the oxygen linking the two carbons together. A great, fantastic, fantastic thing. That's called phthalic acid anhydride, because you've cast off an oxygen, which is a water, so you've removed the water. You made what I've described before as world's first little man in a man or woman. I suppose some people would say looks a bit more like a woman that's wearing a dress at the bottom. Another Christmas, and this, I don't know, people would be very upset if you said, "Look, I've made it folded up a koala. Here it is." But it looks in space-filling models, it looks a bit like a koala, but in the structural formula, which you're handling, it looks a bit more like a man with arms on. You have to get your imagination into it a little bit. But we're halfway there, and I'm not going to leave you upset. What we're going to do is we're going to go back to leave one with the carbolic acid on it. Okay, so this is one thing that you can do. And one with a Sorry, and the other one, we're going to do something really amazing. So, on your right hand one, you've got one with a double oxygen bond and one with an oxygen into a hydrogen, which that's a carbolic acid. You'll have to go back, go to the net and have a look at what it looks like, so you'll at least have a chance going through them. So it's not all that too hard. We've got two phenols and a phthalic acid one, but we've ripped off the acid bits of one carbon, and we're now working out what we're going to do. So we've got a carbon coming out, and it's on that left one, on the number one, it's coming out. It's just got three bonds sitting out to it. Now what we're going to do is for two of them, that's one, two, three, or four. We're going to actually. So I've got to mentally get my head around this slightly different chemistry to computer science. Okay, so while I'm doing that is that you're going to whip out your two phenols. You might have been happy, but you've still got your two phenols. It's just been all mucked into one atom, or one molecule. And so you've got your two phenols, and you staple your fourth on your phenol chain, your fourth atom at the bottom, to the bonds on that spare atom. So your atom on number one of your phthalene atom is now got a carbon coming out of it, and it's been bound to it's been bound to two phenols. So you should now, if you hold it up, if you stapled it, so you staple one, staple the other, you now should now have on this one little carbon, which is holding heaps of it. It's the most overloaded weight of carbon. It's actually holding three plates of other carbon rings, and it will have your ring, and above it will be just a bond, and it can have a hydrogen on it if you really want. And it does. So this is where we say if it's there, we're not going to do get you doing building hydrogens, because that's a huge number of little white pipe cleaners to go along. So there you have it. You've made phenolphthalein, the dye, and look at it, it's all pretty floppy and stuff like that. And that's because you've got the hydrogen. All that, it's all floppy because when you look at it, in that special carbon we talked about, which is that carbon sticking off number one of the phenolphthalein, and that carbon's doing a hell of a lot of work, and it's all floppy because it's got a hydrogen at the top there, and so it's a pyramid. It's got hydrogen at the top of it. It's all floppy, and congratulations, you've made acidic phenolphthalein. That's the invisible phenolphthalein. It's got all its molecules there, all tucked away, not doing anything much. And then what happens? We go ahead is that we say, what we're going to do is we're going to actually start to put some base in it, make it more, to start to rob H plus from it. So you can do it. I think you can do it with the Lowry Brownstead, Lowry Bronsted, I can't pronounce it. I've only ever read it, I've very rarely spoken it. Lowry Bronsted theory, where it talks about, but it's actually easiest to do with the Lewis theory. You know how I've got those three concentric theories, and one's a school theory, one's a high school theory, and the other one's a university theory, all going on where I don't know how you do it, but it means that there's certain things that you can't really explain at school. Okay, so you've got it here. Now we want to do it all. We want to make it a pink. We want to make it into a super dye. And this is where I really like this molecule, because it's a molecule you can actually, I don't know, pick up and play with and stuff like that. It's got a handle on it. It's got flat bits. It's something useful molecule. Now what you do is you've got your second carbolic acid coming off number two. And you rotate, I don't know where you've got the oxygen on one side or the other. You've got an oxygen with a double bond and an oxygen with a hydrogen on it. That's a carbolic acid. I'm not going to confuse it like that. Now, what you do is you rotate it around, and the oxygen with the hydrogen on it goes over to the carbon with the hydrogen on it. Right, and we're in a place where hydrogens are really wanted. So you throw away those hydrogens and you staple together or twist together the bond which is coming out of the top of the carbon with the God. Oh, yeah, that's okay. I'm halfway there, my friends. It's another step forward because I now realize I've told you to do it. You staple it together, and what you've done previously is you're halfway there. You've removed some of the hydrogens there. When you staple it together, your central carbon will definitely be. I was going to say it's going to flatten, but then I realized that you've stapled it together. It's still absolutely colorless. So, yeah, that's right. It's still absolutely colorless. So we're halfway through there. This is painful to make these mistakes all the way through, but I really haven't made a mistake because the explanation is so solid. So what happens there is that you've definitely got your phenylphthalein. It's all locked together, and it's not got any flat panes. And then you go through another step, and so that's your colourless phenylphthalein. The previous one was your extremely acidic phenylphthalein, and that's actually got some colour. This one's the colourless phase, which is it's got your central working switch carbon. It's got some. It's in the tetrahedral form. But now we go to the next stage. You get out some scissors. So you've stapled your hydroxyl group of your carbolic acid just on the second atom to the first carbon atoms rebond up the top. You've stapled together, and that stapled together is called an ester, my friend. Something which it goes carbon with an oxygen double bond goes to an oxygen in a carbon chain. That's an ester. So it's self-esterized. And if you add some more base to it, adding more bases to it, you actually, I suppose, coming bases, this is where you need the Lewis theory, is adding more electrons. You add more electrons, and what you do is that you can cut that bond. Now, when you cut that bond and add more electrons to it, so it's actually got a little negative charge on your carbon thing, you then regain your carboxylic acid, but your carboxylic acid, this is hard to get your mind around, is now become a base. It hasn't got a, it's or it's donated its H plus, and it's got an electron around it, and so what you do is just fold in your carbolic acid, fold in that little end bond, and you've got just two equal oxygens on it. You've got an extra electron there, meaning that your carbon has five electron five bonds, or well, I don't know how to describe it. So your carbolic acid goes off, and you basically fold that fourth bond over your central carbon. And flatten that central carbon. Now you have a carbon which is now holding your two flat plates exactly flat, and it's got an electron on it, so the electrons can swirl from one plate to the other via that central carbon and absorb light. And so when it's basic enough, this has been so hard, I'll get it in the next group. It's when you add base to it, it will actually emit, it will absorb radiation like a mobile phone and transmit radiation. So it will absorb red light from all directions and emit it in all directions. So it will no longer be transparent, it'll be red. And so that's the story you've actually got there. And so I wish I'd have to do it more reversible. And that's really, look, may not be the best podcast, but it's the first attempt of restructuring molecular tours, where I give you a little bit of what the chemical does, a little bit of the theory that you really need to get through it, and then rather than overload you with your mental capacity, I sort of get you to build with something in your head, and you got you through there. And you can look, you can see, please be forgiving for me in terms of, you can see the difficulty of going through all of this. You've got molecules doing different things and different acid-base theories. Eventually, going through it, you have to really do that. A base adds electrons to it. And an acid and a base, there's always two species, an acid and base, and then you've got conjugate acid and conjugate base going through it. So that higher level theory to discuss what indicators are in the first place. Thanks for listening. It's really interesting because I'm getting you to think-do science. That's a new thing, think-doing. That is going through projects and doing it in your head. And I think sort of the exercise of trying to do it in your head and then going and looking at the actual thing in the textbook means that you can get to go with it. But phenethylamine is just this fantastic molecule with the switch in it. It switches on and off with the acid. It's just mind-blowing. So look, thanks for listening, and keep on thinking, doing, and finally teaching science.